Welcome, everybody. Really excited to be here. As always, the Ohio Real Estate Convention has been a very important part of, as a business, as well as an investor for me over the last, I would say, 13, 14 years I've been doing this. So real honored and privileged to be here today. What I want to do with you over the next 60 minutes is talk about how you can utilize a self-directed Roth IRA, HSA, CISA account, Covered Education Savings account, and really it could be any of the tax-advantaged investment accounts that we talk about. But primarily, I want to focus on the Roth, the Coverdell account, and the HSA, and show you how you could utilize some smaller dollars in these accounts and make a meaningful profit and leverage what I call compounding interest in the absence of taxation. So by show of hands, who would be interested in learning about how to take a smaller amount of money in a Roth IRA, CISA account, or HSA and grow it in a much more meaningful way? All right, awesome. And the reason why I found that this class that I've been teaching for quite a while now is so popular is because there are a lot of folks out there that they don't have thousands upon thousands of dollars in their IRAs, right? And you'll learn that you can only contribute so much money to an IRA or HSA or CISA on an annual basis. Who has felt like that is a massive limitation for them, right? You can only put so much money in there. We'd all love to take our mattress money, right? We'd all love to take our thousands of dollars we have in a savings account and put it into an IRA, but you can only put so much money in every single year. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you some creative ways that you can think about finding opportunities and taking advantage of those opportunities with a tax-free account instead of using your taxable dollars. So who has paid thousands of dollars in taxes on real estate transactions? Right? All of us. So let's show you how you can do some of those transactions, maybe not every single one of them, but let's show you how you can do some of those transactions in a tax-free account. By way of introduction, very quickly, again, my name is John Bowens. I'm the Director of Education and Investor Success with Equity Trust. I've been in this business for 15 years. I've been in real estate for 20 years. I came across our company founder, Dick Desich, about 15 years ago. He became my mentor, and he taught me that, hey, you could use an IRA or 401k to invest in real estate. Before that, I thought the only way to save for retirement was to put my money into an IRA and then put it into a mutual fund, right? How many times have you heard someone say, yeah, I don't use IRAs or 401ks because I don't believe in the stock market, right? How many people think that? And by the way, as you go throughout today's program, I also want you to be taking good notes and be thinking about this material because it's important for you in meeting other potential money partners. I'll call these individuals financial friends. Important for you to be able to communicate to them how they can use their IRAs and 401ks to invest with you. Fun fact, there's over $13 trillion in IRAs. When I started in the business 15 years ago, it was like $3.5 trillion. It's now over $13 trillion. There's only about $150 billion invested in true real estate and alternative investments, meaning everybody else has their money where? In the stock market. Is every man, woman, and child in this country comfortable with having all of their money in the stock market? Does anyone know what the S&P 500 has made over the last 20 years? Hasn't been doing terrible in the last 5 years, I'll say. About 7.25%. But what you're going to learn is you have the opportunity to be able to generate returns, avoid taxes, and be able to help other individuals in your ecosystem be able to save for retirement as well. So would you all like to do well and also help other people to do well? Yeah? So that's what we're talking about in today's program. Now, I do want to make sure that everybody knows that this is for educational purposes only. I will provide a lot of information, a lot of education. It's for educational purposes only. In no way, shape, or form am I providing any type of tax, legal, or financial advice. Now, I will also share with you a number of case studies and examples. In fact, I'm going to provide to you sample documentation of the transactions that I talk about. And then it is your job, because we're helping you get to the 95-yard line, to then get over the finish line by going to your own attorney or your own professional to make sure that the documentation is conforming to your specific locality laws. Everybody with me on that? Okay. One last housekeeping item that I'll mention. As far as Equity Trust is concerned, our focus is helping you with your self-directed IRAs and retirement accounts. So if you are someone that has an existing IRA, 401k, or the retirement plan, you can establish a self-directed IRA, transfer a roll of your funds into an Equity Trust self-directed IRA, and we become your custodian. Now, what we don't do is sell you stocks, bonds, mutual funds, traditional investments. We're not a financial advisor, and that's good. People come to us because they want the peace of mind, knowing that they have the freedom and flexibility to be able to use their retirement accounts to invest in what they know, like, and understand. Just know that many of the other financial institutions out there, if you have an IRA at a Fidelity, Schwab, Vanguard, wherever your money might be at, are they going to allow you to self-direct into real estate and other private assets? No. They don't have the financial incentive to do so. They don't have the infrastructure. They don't have the personnel. It doesn't mean those are bad companies. It just means that they're not going to let you do it. So you have to take control and become your own money manager in order to do the types of things that you want to do. I'll also mention, because we are highly focused as an organization in helping people save on taxes, helping people avoid taxes, all right, we're highly focused on this. We also have a division of our company that handles 1031 exchanges. Has anyone done a 1031 exchange? Does anyone want to do a 1031 exchange? Is there anybody out there that has no idea what I'm talking about? If you don't, that's okay. So I want to mention that our organization, by virtue of a recent acquisition, we handle 1031 exchanges. In fact, this company has been doing it for 25 years. In the very back of the room, if everyone can turn around for just a moment, or turn your head around, maybe not all the way around like an owl, but you know what I mean. Teresa Knower, I call her Teresa, knows everything about 1031 exchanges, Knower. She is with us today. If you have questions about 1031 exchanges, you can talk to Teresa. We have an exhibit booth right out front. You can't miss us, so feel free to stop by. And she has actually been doing this for 18 years. She has 18 years, thousands upon thousands of 1031 exchange transactions under her belt. So just wanted to make sure everybody has a little bit of a lay of the land of Equity Trust. I also need to make sure I get a little bit of time so that everybody has read this from top to down. So everybody give me a head nod that yes, you've read it top to down. Okay. What are the different types of tax-free savings accounts? Well, we're going to focus on the tax-free accounts. Roth IRA, number one. Every man, woman, and child in the United States can have a Roth IRA. I'm a firm believer that everyone should. Now, some people are told that they are not allowed to have a Roth IRA. Who's been told they're not allowed to have a Roth IRA? Anyone? It's absolute nonsense. You can have a Roth IRA. You might just have to go about it a little bit different way. We're going to talk about that. There is also the traditional IRA. Does anyone have a 401k, 403b, old employer plan? Okay, you can roll that money over into a traditional IRA. Usually 401ks and other workplace plans, I call those. Those are plans where when you put money in, you get a tax deduction. See, we've kind of been conditioned in today's society to get deductions now. What we don't think about is what happens later on when we take money out of that retirement plan. You're going to pay what? You're going to pay taxes. So I'm going to show you how you can actually convert that money over into a Roth IRA. But if you have one of those employer-based plans, all you need to do is open up a self-directed IRA and then roll the money over into the self-directed IRA. And then from there, if you wanted to convert it into a Roth IRA, you could. Or maybe you keep it as a traditional IRA and you save what we call tax deferred. You're still leveraging what we call compounding interest in the absence of taxation. An inherited IRA. If you've inherited an IRA from someone, you can self-direct that account. There are also some business retirement plans out there that you can take advantage of. SEP IRA, Simple IRA, Solo 401k. By show of hands, who is a business owner, solopreneur? Maybe you have employees, maybe you don't. Okay, keep your hands up. Who is declaring active earned income in their business where they're paying Medicare and Social Security tax on that income? Keep your hand up. Okay, if your hand's up, you might want to look at one of these business retirement plans. You can put your hands down now. You might want to look at one of these business retirement plans, SEP IRA, Simple IRA, or Solo 401k. Why? Because you oftentimes can contribute larger sums of money to one of these business retirement plans compared to an IRA. But it's important to know that you can contribute to both an IRA and a business retirement plan. A lot of people think it's one or the other, it's some kind of competition. What you'll find is that you can have multiples of these accounts, you can make your contributions, save more for retirement, use that money to then go out, invest, reinvest, as I call it, rinse, repeat, reload, and reinvest with tax-free dollars. Last but not least, the health savings account and the Coverdell education savings account. These accounts, I think, are very underestimated, underutilized plans. Why? Because there's not a lot of information out there. People aren't watching TikTok videos and Facebook videos about HSAs and CSAs. They're watching videos about cats and how to get rich really quick, right? You guys with me on that? Nobody watches my Facebook videos. Nobody watches my TikTok videos. I get like 6 views when I talk about self-directed IRAs. That's just a shameless plug for my social media channels, if anybody wants to check that out. I know everybody's going to run out there and start checking it out. I told it earlier before, I have super dry jokes. They never land well, so just laugh at me, okay? All right. 4 methods to finance real estate deals with a self-directed IRA, Roth, Solo. You can plug and play any of these accounts. So remember that any of the self-directed accounts, you can self-direct into the strategies that I'm talking about here. So how many methods are we talking about here? With me? 4 methods. All right, method number 1 is where your IRA or Roth or Solo 401k is a cash buyer. So you're going to go out and acquire the property or make a private money loan or invest in a partnership, whatever it is that you're doing, as a cash buyer. That's one IRA funding the entire purchase. Now, I'm not going to spend very much time here because we want to talk about these smaller dollar deals that you can consider, which require more creativity. But if you're somebody that's built up enough money in your IRA, eventually you'll get there and you're going to want to fund transactions 100%. So for example, 4 months ago, I made an $80,000 loan to a house flipper. $80,000 loan, I charge interest, no principal payments. When the property sells, the property sold about 3 weeks ago. So last week I got my check. The check was for $80,000 principal plus the interest of $5,600. So I had $5,600 going back into the Roth IRA, my Roth IRA, and how much did I pay in taxes? 0%. That was a 100% cash buyer type transaction where my self-directed IRA made an $80,000 loan and all the interest and principal came back to the Roth IRA, no taxes. Could you buy a rental property? Your IRA owns a rental property, your IRA generates rental income, that rental income goes back into the IRA and you don't pay any taxes. You eventually sell that property and you have long-term gains. That long-term gain goes back into the IRA and you pay no taxes. So as simple as that, but moving on to number 2, which is partnering with family members. All right, this is really important, partnering with family members. Now there are people under Internal Revenue Code 4975, I know you're all gonna go run out and read that later on tonight, right? Ha ha, that was one of those dry jokes, right? Internal Revenue Code 4975 says that there are disqualified persons to your IRA. And you have to be careful. You're going to learn that you can partner your IRA with your non-IRA money, your IRA with another family member, your IRA with a spouse's IRA, but you have to make sure that you do it appropriately. Quick example, a client of mine, his name is John. He's from Indiana. John and his wife, Teresa, with their Roth IRAs, bought a property for $75,000. And they partnered their Roth IRAs, 82% John's Roth IRA and 18% his wife Teresa's Roth IRA. They rented that property out for 3 years. The rental income flowed back in 82-18, and all expenses were paid out 82-18. They sold the property for $210,000 3 years after they bought it, and that capital gain flowed back into their Roth IRAs, 82%, 18%. And how much did they pay in taxes? 0%. When they're over 59 and a half and they begin harvesting the profits, harvesting the wealth that they've created, how much do they pay in taxes? 0%. They leave it to their children or grandchildren, how much do they pay in taxes? 0%. Along the way, did they ever have to file a tax return for their IRA? Did they ever have to claim any of the income? No, 0%. That's one of the things, my wife and I, we do our tax returns together every single year. We usually do it on a Saturday. We make a whole day out of it. We bring out the, what are those things called? The charcuterie boards or whatever, you know, with the cheeses and stuff like that. You know, we get all that going and we get all of our documents, and you guys are looking at me like, this guy's nuts. But we love it because, yes, we have real estate deals that we do with our non-IRA funds, and we pay taxes, and we have to file special tax documents associated with that. But all of our deals that we do in our self-directed IRAs, so as I'm out making private money loans secured by real estate and generating interest income, I don't have to report a dime of that income. Nowhere on any of those tax returns, on my 1040, does it say, how much interest income did you make in your IRA from your private money lending activities? I don't have to report any of that. If I had to report that, that would be thousands of dollars in taxes that I'd be paying every single year. So instead, that goes into my IRA, and then I have more money to go out and do more deals, right? You guys with me on that? I call that compounding interest in the absence of taxation. Who's heard me say that before? Compounding interest in the absence of taxation. I say it all the time on Facebook and TikTok and all the other social media. There I go again, plug in social media. And people walk, I get like 5 views. I'm just trying to get more views. You laugh at me? Okay. All right, moving on here. Partnering with non-disqualified persons. So write down financial friends. Partnering with non-disqualified persons. Financial friends. Now, let me describe to you, for those of you that aren't familiar, who in the world is a disqualified person? Disqualified persons include these individuals. All right, for those of you that are brand new to this, make sure you write this down. Disqualified persons are going to include you to your IRA, your spouse, your children and grandchildren. 4975 describes these as lineal descendants. And then you have lineal ascendants, parents and grandparents. So you, your spouse, your children, your parents. And then any LLC, any entity, LLC, S-Corp, your corporations, and or trust, so your estate planning trust, your living trust, your land trust, your personal property trust, your trusts that are owned or controlled 50% or greater by the disqualified persons that I mentioned. So for all intents and purposes, your entities, your trusts, those are disqualified persons to your IRA as well. And what the tax code says is that you cannot transact with your IRA. And those disqualified persons can't transact with your IRA. Not a bad thing, just something you need to understand. Most of the time, the transactions that are considered prohibited aren't good deals anyways, to be honest with you. I've been doing this for 15 years, analyzing transactions for 15 years. In my experience, usually they're not good deals anyways. What people are trying to do is raid their IRA. Have you ever heard of that, where people want to raid their IRA? I couldn't believe it. In COVID, they created this nasty law, I'll call it, where they said, oh, you can take money out of your IRA and you don't have to worry about paying it back for a few years. A bunch of people did it. They didn't need to do it, but they did it because all of a sudden they had access to their IRA. Well, guess what happens when you take money out of your IRA? Number one, you expose it to what? Taxes, right, expose it to taxes. Number two, and a lot of people don't realize this, you expose it to creditors. Your IRA has certain creditor protections. You also expose it to probate. Your IRA avoids probate. IRAs, and I'll get off this lecture in just a moment, but IRAs, particularly Roth IRAs, need to be cherished in this country. They need to be cherished, but they're not, right? Nobody cares about the Facebook videos where I talk about this stuff, but guess what? I did a Facebook video that talked about how to take money out of your IRA. It had like a bazillion views. I was so upset by it because Americans do not cherish IRAs. I mentioned I'll get off this lecture topic in just a moment. So I'm telling you this because I know you're here and you cherish IRAs, but remember that a lot of people out there are not going to cherish IRAs, right? But it can be our job to go out there and tell the message And as you're talking to financial friends, potential money partners, you can explain this to them as well. You with me on that? Okay. So partnering with non-disqualified persons, financial friends, this can be really, really powerful because what you have the opportunity to do when you partner with financial friends is actually command a larger percentage of the profits compared to if you partnered with disqualified persons. All right, I'm going to show you examples of that in just a moment. So in conclusion, number two and number three here, they're two different strategies. When you partner with disqualified persons, you have to make sure that all of your income and all of your expenses flows proportionally. But then when you partner with non-disqualified persons, as I call them financial friends, you can actually structure the deal where you receive a larger percentage of the gains. But you have to identify the financial friend. Last but not least, it is possible for your IRA to borrow money. When your IRA borrows money, it must be in the form of a non-recourse loan. In the event of a default, the only recourse that the lender will have is against the subject property. So they can't come after you through a deficiency judgment, only the property. The reason why is because under the Internal Revenue Code 4975, you can't sign a personal guarantee for a loan that your IRA takes on. It's a prohibited transaction. So lenders, your traditional conventional lenders, are not going to loan to your IRA. But there are non-recourse lenders out there that will do this. I know some of them. Hard money lenders, private lenders, as long as they understand that you can't sign a personal guarantee, you're okay. Your IRA can borrow the money. And we have plenty of clients that do that. Now you will learn that when your IRA borrows money, there's actually a tax that you have to pay. It's called unrelated business income tax, UBIT for short, UBIT, unrelated business income tax. It's a special tax on IRAs when engaged in debt-financed real estate purchases. So for example, if you borrow $100,000 and you, or if you buy a property for $100,000, I should say, and you borrow $50,000, you're at 50% leverage. So if your property is 50% debt-financed, then 50% of your net profit is going to be subject to this unrelated business income tax. As you pay down that debt, your exposure to that tax becomes less and less because a smaller percentage of the property is debt financed. Now, this tax, you don't necessarily have to be overly concerned about it because if you have enough write-offs and depreciation, you could significantly offset that tax. Additionally, even though you're paying tax, you're taking advantage of leverage, and as long as your return on investment is substantial enough, it would make sense to pay some tax. Because after all, if you're paying tax, that means what? Right, you're making money. And if you're starting with a small amount of money in an IRA, you might have to pay that price initially to build up the war chest tax-free, so then you can go out and do private money loans or buy properties free and clear and not have that tax. All right, so those are the four methods. Let's jump into the formula and then some examples. So you're going to write this down. This is the formula for growing a small dollar IRA in a very meaningful way. The first component of the formula is you need an account, right? You need a Roth IRA, maybe it's an HSA, maybe it's a Coverdell education savings account. You have to have your account established. Now this is a pretty straightforward process. Is there anyone out there that does not have a self-directed IRA, Roth IRA, HSA, or CISA that needs to establish one? Okay, a few folks. We make it easy for you. So at any time over the next couple days, fill out the first section of this application that you received when you came in the door and stop by the booth and either Owen or Ken, who are there, they are our IRA counselors, they will meet with you one-on-one and help you through the account opening and funding process. All right, it's a very straightforward process to open the account. Funding your account, we can help you with in the following week. So whether you're rolling over money from another plan or transferring or just making a contribution, we will help you through that process. So that's the easy part, opening and funding the account, that's straightforward. The second component is you need to find a deal or an opportunity. So who here can find deals, can find opportunities through their marketing and through their other sourcing? So if you can find deals and opportunities, you can make this work. The third is a financial friend. Financial friends are who again? Non-disqualified persons. Most people that I talk to, disqualified persons are, I don't know, maybe 10, 13, 14 people. Because remember, it's only people up and down the family tree and your spouse. Do you know how many millions of Americans there are out there? Like 360 million Americans, right? So there's this huge universe of people out there that are your financial friends. How many financial friends are probably walking around these halls this weekend? Probably a lot. Do you think some people might have money in their IRA that they're interested in deploying for investments? Absolutely. Because if the IRA money is just sitting in their account doing nothing, what's happening? Nothing. Inflation is eroding the principal of that account. So the idea is to keep the money moving. And there's a lot of opportunity out there. I mentioned before, $13 trillion in IRAs. How many people out there do you think are fed up with the stock market? They no longer want all their money invested in those types of asset classes, and they want to do something different. I talk to them every single day, so they're certainly out there. So those are the three components you need: account, a deal, and a financial friend. So let's go through some examples. What if you want to partner with disqualified persons? So I mentioned disqualified persons. What if you want to partner with a disqualified person? Well, you can do it. You just have to make sure it's structured the right way. So let me show you an example of this. This is a property that I bought in 2020 for $63,000. I partnered my Roth at 55%, my traditional at 35%, and personally, I put 10% in the deal. So it was a 55, 35, 10% split. The $63,000 purchase, the day of closing, I had a wire transfer sent over, 55 for my Roth, 35 for my traditional, 10% me personally. So the 10% me personally, I ended up having to pay taxes on the gains when I sold the property, which is okay. The other 90%, you'll see, went back into my self-directed tax-advantaged accounts, growing tax-deferred and tax-free. So I funded the deal. We bought this house from a motivated seller. There were two units, upstairs, downstairs, $750 a month. And we had about $15,000 in deferred maintenance on the property. Over 2 years, I call it a buy-rent flip, over 2 years, we handled the improvements and the repairs that were necessary. And then we listed the property and sold it in May of 2022 for $115,000. Now our total capital gains was nearly $39,000. Along the way, I had to make sure that all the profits and all the expenses flowed 55, 35, and 10%. Remember, I'm a disqualified person in my IRA. My IRAs are disqualified persons of one another. So if I partner on a deal like this, I have to make sure that everything is done proportionally. You can write that down, proportionally. A good analogy that I like to think about is, think of it like this. It's like jumping into a pool with your family members. Everybody's holding hands together, and then you all have to come out of the pool sopping wet together. That's when you're partnering with disqualified persons. You've got to make sure everything is done proportionally. Otherwise, you would trigger what's called a prohibited transaction. And if you do a prohibited transaction, your IRA ceases to exist. It becomes distributed January 1 in the year in which the transaction occurred. So we don't want to do that, right? That's why we make sure everything is done proportionally. Now, on the profits of $38,888, 10% of that went back to me, to John, to my LLC that I have for property holdings. I had to pay taxes on that. But the 90% that went back to the Roth and traditional, which was $35,000, did I have to report that as capital gains? No. Had I had to report that as capital gains, I would have paid about $5,000 in taxes. Instead, I saved $5,000 in taxes. And then immediately after this deal, I put the money that I received from the deal into a private money loan to a house flipper. I made a $100,000 loan to a house flipper, 65% from my Roth, 35% from my traditional. I charged 14% per annum. I ended up making $8,900 in profit in about 9 months on that deal that went back into my Roth in my traditional. So in private money lending, you can also partner your accounts together as long as you do everything proportionally. Yes, sir. Great question. Is there a reason why I use my personal money at 10%? At the time, with other investments in my accounts, I didn't have enough money in my Roth and traditional to fund the entire deal. So I brought in 10% personally. Now, some of you were in the session earlier this morning, and you heard the story about this. I do have a regret, even though it was a really good deal. I made $35,000 tax-free, 32% annualized cash on cash return. It was a great deal. But you know what I could have done in this deal? Instead of putting 10% personally, my wife Sarah, which by the way, she's my tax-free soulmate, I call her. She's been in the business longer than I have been. She's been in the business for 17 years. I fell in love with the business so much, I had to actually go and marry somebody that's already been in the business. And so I could have brought my wife's IRA into the deal, and then it would have been a totally tax-free deal. And when we were doing, I didn't tell the story earlier today, but when we were doing our tax returns, we were having a great day on Saturday. We were joking, laughing, having fun. I know we're weirdos. And that was a joke, by the way, yeah. And I said, Sarah, why did you let me fund this deal with 10% personal cash? She just looks at me, she's like, John, you didn't even tell me about this one. So I learned my lesson the hard way on that one. I could have brought her IRA money in the deal, but I was trying to move too fast with the deal. I should have paused, stopped, and recalibrated. At the end of the day, it still worked out though, right? I did pay some tax, but in the end, it still worked out. All right, so that is partnering with a disqualified person. Everybody with me on that? All right, so that can be impactful, and you may want to do that. But in the spirit of small dollar IRA deals and investing, let's talk about partnering with a financial friend. Let me give you an example. Scott and Kate. Scott and Kate, they're not married, they're not disqualified persons, they're financial friends. They met each other at a convention just like this. The story goes like this. Scott finds opportunities. He knows how to find deals. He finds a foreclosure. He needs $224,000 for the deal, but he only has $24,000 in his Roth IRA. He meets up with Kate. Kate has a Roth IRA and an HSA, and it's in cash, and she had had it in cash for about 14 months. It was earning little to no interest in a low interest bearing account. Inflation is eroding the principal. She's looking for opportunities. So it was a perfect match. Scott and Kate got together and they took down this deal as tenants in common owners, right? You've heard of that, tenants in common owners? So they bought the property where both of their IRAs were on title. So instead of it being just their names, it's Equity Trust Company Custodian, FBO as in for benefit of, Scott and Kate's IRAs with their individual undivided interest percentages. And so they acquire the property all in purchase and renovation. There was just subtle renovations necessary, $224,000. Kate's Roth and HSA brought in $200,000, and then Scott brought in $24,000. They sold the property about 6 months later, and the profit was $60,000. Per the joint venture agreement, they split the profits 30-70. 30% went back to Kate's Roth and HSA, which turned out to be $18,000. And then 70% of the profits went back to Scott's Roth IRA, which turned out to be $42,000. So Scott grew his Roth IRA from $24,000 to over $66,000. And how much did he pay in taxes? 0%. This is a very simple real estate joint venture with a joint venture agreement. It's a 3-page document. Very straightforward. Who has done real estate joint ventures already? Okay, a few folks. You can do the same thing that you've probably already done before, but you can do it with one of these tax-free accounts. Now, why in the world was Scott able to command 70% of the profits? He found the deal, right? The financial friend is who? That's Kate. Kate's Roth and HSA is the financial friend. That's why this deal works, because they're financial friends. They don't have to split the profits proportionally. They can do it disproportionately. So when you're partnering with disqualified persons, you have to do it proportionally, right? Everybody's with me on that. And then when you partner with financial friends, you can allocate profits disproportionately. It didn't have to be 70-30, it could have been 50-50, but that's entirely up to them. Now what you'll learn is over the course of the next 2 years between you and a spouse, even if you don't have an IRA today, between you and a spouse, you can get upwards of over $24,000. Does it have to be $24,000? No. In the earlier session, I shared an example of two investors that come to this convention every single year. I met them about 3 years ago or so and talked through this transaction. Investor A had a fix and flip deal. He needed $106,000. He only had about $13,000 and some change. He partnered with another fellow investor here. The other investor was the financial friend. They took down the deal, had a joint venture agreement, and they split the profits 50-50. It was a 9-month transaction. And investor A, with only $13,000 and some change in the deal, he made $34,000 tax-free. So he grew his Roth IRA from $13,000 and some change to over $47,000, and he paid how much in tax? 0%. Right. All right, what about note investing? So I showed you examples of owning real estate directly. What if you were a note investor? What if you were a private lender on a deal using the same formula, the same financial friends formula? So this is a client that I met. This wasn't too long ago that I met him for the very first time, but he's been a customer of ours since 2015. His name is Alec. And Alec, he can find opportunities, he can find deals. And so what Alec did in order to jumpstart the growth of his Roth IRA is find opportunities and then bring those opportunities to his financial friends to take down those deals. And his IRA merely serves as a private lender on the transaction and doesn't just charge interest, but charges what he calls an exit fee. So here's how this deal worked out. Alec found an opportunity, found a vacant lot. And he brought that lot, he brought that deal to an operator, to a financial friend. Alec used his Roth IRA, and back in 2015, he only had $11,000 in his Roth IRA. He had 2 years of contributions in there, had $11,000. He has well over $1 million now in that Roth IRA through a number of transactions that he's done since 2015. His Roth IRA loaned $8,000. He had a promissory note and a deed of trust, which is nothing more than a mortgage, right? So he had a lien on the property. The $8,000 loan, he charged 12% interest, which was only $80. But in addition to that, upon the sale of the property, he also charged an exit fee of $32,000 and some change. So this is the actual deed of trust and promissory note pulled from his account. Obviously, there's more documents than just this. And that profit that went back into his Roth IRA, did he pay any tax? No, it was tax-free. It was only a 3-month transaction. So $8,000 out, $32,000 and some change back into the Roth IRA, no taxes. He then went on, found another opportunity, brought it to the same operator, the same investor. On this transaction, he loaned $53,000 from his Roth IRA. And he charged 12% interest and an exit fee of $43,000. 3 to 4 months later, his profit comes back in at $44,000 and some change. That's an exit fee. Profits go back into the Roth IRA, no taxes. Are you guys with me on this? So these are paper transactions. He has a promissory note and a deed of trust. How did I obtain these documents? Well, I'm fortunate in that I'm the custodian, right? I get copies of all these documents. I get to see all these transactions and how they're engineered. That's how I can share that with you. All right, what about an equity participation loan? So here's another interesting paper transaction. And I've showed you examples of vacant lots and single family homes so far. But why couldn't you do these types of deals in the commercial arena? Why couldn't you do these with apartment buildings? Why couldn't you do these with self-storage facilities? Why couldn't you do this in an industrial building? Really, plug and play the asset class in real estate. It doesn't make a difference. Technically, you could even do these types of deals with like equipment, for example. Now, in this example, Scott who came to Equity Trust in 2010. He had tax deferred money exclusively at that time, and he started converting money over into his Roth IRAs. Because the types of returns you're gonna see here, he much rather would pay taxes on the smaller seed than the much larger crop. Who's heard me say that before? You either pay taxes on the seed or you pay taxes on the crop, right? So he prefers to do these deals in his Roth IRAs, not his traditional IRAs, because of the returns that you're gonna see here. Scott is very good at finding opportunities in self-storage. He finds motivated sellers. Who's good at finding motivated sellers? Right? A few of us. He finds motivated sellers through networking and through marketing, and he brings these deals to operators in his network. So instead of him taking down the opportunity himself, he much rather prefers to take a more passive approach. He brings the deal to a financial friend, to an operator, and then his Roth IRA serves as a private money lender on the deal. And he doesn't just charge interest, but he charges a percentage of the profits. This is known as an equity participation loan. You want to make sure you write that down, equity participation loan. So on this particular transaction, as you can see here, the Roth IRA loaned $50,000. You see their Equity Trust Company custodian, FBO. This is Scott's IRA. One Equity Way, Westlake, Ohio. That's our address up near Cleveland. $50,000 note in mortgage. He's charging 12% of the net operating income. Remember, this is a self-storage building. He's charging 12% of the net operating income per year and 12% of the profits when the property sells. Why couldn't you structure a note with your IRA where you're receiving a percentage of the net operating income? Couldn't you do this with a single family rent home? Why not? Could you do this with an industrial building? Why not? I don't know that I would do that, but you could. So in this example, it was an in-and-out transaction. These properties are bought, renovated. They put operational mechanisms in place to make them highly efficient. They increase the net operating income substantially, and then they sell them to an investor, turnkey, that goes and gets a bank loan. And they can justify that with the increase in the net operating income, and then they take their profits and they walk away, and then they go out and rinse, repeat, reload, and do it again. So on this deal, it was just over a year deal, he made a 56.5% annualized cash-on-cash return, over $56,000 in profit. So $50,000 loan out, $56,000 and some change profit, plus the $50,000 in principal. And did he pay any taxes? Paid no taxes. Another one of Scott's deals, similar transaction, finds a self-storage building. In this case, he uses his wife's Roth IRA. Her name is Christine. Christine's Roth IRA loans $50,000, charges 50% of the net operating income, plus 50% of the profits upon the sale. The total profit on this deal, $80,000, nearly $81,000 tax-free for 162% annualized return on investment. So again, this is an equity participation loan. Could Scott's Roth IRA partner with his wife's Roth IRA and make a loan on an equity participation basis? Yeah, just got to make sure the profits are split proportionally. I mentioned in the class earlier, I had a client, his name's Stan. He had 10 IRAs and investment accounts, his solo, his Roths, his wife's Roths, his children's Roth and CISA accounts, 10 accounts, all making one single loan to a mobile home park operator on an equity participation basis. And then all of the principal and interest payments flowed back into each one of the respective accounts proportionally. So you can create this orbit of tax-advantaged accounts for yourself and your family. HSAs, solo, SEPs, Roths, traditionals, rollover money from other plans, right? You can create your entire orbit, and you can bring that orbit together and mix and match and do different deals. Again, if you're partnering with the disqualified persons, you just got to make sure everything is done proportionally, right? If you're doing deals like this with non-disqualified persons, you can do things disproportionately, right? That's the power behind this. All right. Now, I want to pepper this concept for everyone that's thinking, hey, If I want to partner multiple accounts together, how could I do this efficiently and logistically more productively? Who's thinking of that? How could I do this, right? One of the ways that you can do this or consider this is where you form an LLC. Now, you don't have to do this. You can partner on real estate deals directly or private money loan deals directly, okay, where you have an undivided interest and you have each IRA on the deed. But some people look at that and it gives them anxiety, right? They're thinking to themselves like, well, how in the world am I going to split payments, so on and so forth. So if you have multiple accounts, in this example I'm showing where you have a traditional IRA at 10%, a Roth IRA at 40%, maybe a spouse's IRA at 10%, your non-IRA 40%, and you form an LLC. You form a limited liability company. You bring in the accounts into that LLC, and then that LLC has its own bank account that you control. All the money goes into the LLC bank account, and then you direct your funds from that LLC bank account. And then you just make sure that everything is done what? Proportionally, right. So I have this in the slides, and by the way, I can share this diagram with you. So you understand when you're ready to get to that point where you're partnering several accounts together, how you can efficiently do that through a limited liability company structure. Do you guys like this idea or concept? Okay. Now, if you're interested in the documentation that I shared with you, who would be interested in some of the sample documents that I shared with you? The equity participation loans, the joint venture agreements, okay? I have taken all of these documents, sanitized them, redacted them, right? I can't release sensitive information, right? So redacted these documents, and I have put these into a course that we call our Wealth Accelerator for Small Balance IRA course. Now, if you are interested in this course, if you're opening an account, all right, you're going to receive the course. It's an online digital course. You have all the sample documents. Your job with the sample documents is not to copy and paste. I want to get you to the 95-yard line so you don't have to start on the zero-yard line. You take those sample documents and you give them to your attorney so they can draft those appropriately for the deal you're doing in the location you're in, right? You want to make sure you're complying with all of your local laws. So make sure you work with your local attorney or professional. In this online digital course, I also have a video training where I walk through in great detail all of these transactions. So some of it is what I just delivered to you. I know it was a lot in a short period of time. So what I did just before this event is I captured this presentation digitally for you and I uploaded it to the course. I also have in here, there's a gentleman within this group, his name's Bob, he does a lot of wrap loans. Who's heard of wrap lending before? I didn't have time to share it with you in this presentation, but wrap lending is another way in which you can take a small dollar IRA, partner up with another investor's larger dollar amount, and you can make loans to house flippers, and then you generate interest back into your IRA supported by that money partner's money. And in one of the examples that Bob breaks down in the video training, he used his wife's HSA with $6,000 and made over a $4,000 profit, tax-free in the HSA, on just one transaction in 9 months. So he breaks down this wrap lending vehicle that he utilizes. So you're gonna have that in the course as well. And then we have some video training from clients that talk about how they buy real estate on owner financing. And with that owner financing, they are paying some unrelated business income tax, but ultimately their net effect is they're growing their Roth IRAs in a meaningful tax-free capacity. All right, so if you are interested in opening an account, as I mentioned before, just make sure that you fill out this account application, okay, and hand it back to either Ken or Owen, who will be at the exhibitor table all the rest of this weekend. I will be here as well, so happy to answer any questions or provide any additional information as needed. Now, As far as funding an account is concerned, there are four methods by which you can fund a self-directed account. You can roll over funds from an old 401k or 403b or other employer plan. We can help you with that process. Don't feel like you have to do that all on your own. You can transfer from an existing IRA. So if you have existing IRAs elsewhere, you can transfer those into an equity trust IRA. And then if you have tax-deferred funds, you can convert those funds into a Roth IRA. So for example, let's say you have $100,000 in a traditional IRA, and you say, you know what, I would rather convert that money into a Roth, pay the taxes now so I don't have to pay it later. You can do what's called a Roth conversion. So you convert from the tax-deferred account directly into the Roth. You pay the taxes now so you don't have to pay the taxes later. That's known as a Roth conversion. Now, you don't have to convert all of your money. You might just consider converting some of your money and spread out your tax burden. So, for example, I mentioned a wrap loan, a $6,000 wrap loan. If you have $100,000 in your traditional IRA, if you only convert $6,000, that's not going to be a huge tax burden, right? So maybe you convert $6,000, you go out and you do the deal, you make $4,000 and some change tax-free, and now that's in your Roth IRA. So you can spread out your tax burden. And also remember that we're at the end of the year now. So you can convert some money now, and then you can convert more money over at the turn of the year, and you've effectively spread out your tax burden over how many years? 2 years, right? You with me on that? Okay. I should also mention, if you are opening an account, we will waive your $50 setup fee and your maintenance fee for 2023. You will just pay a maintenance fee for 2024. Our IRA counselors, Owen and Ken, are here to help you through that process. When you establish your account, you will also have access to our onboarding specialist team. They're going to be your single point of contact. You're going to have one person, one phone number. You'll reach out to them, and they'll be able to help you through the process of walking you through your very first transaction. Is there anyone here who doesn't have a self-directed IRA, never done a self-directed IRA deal before? Okay, a few folks. So when you establish your account and you fund your account, we're going to help you with that. You're going to be appointed a single point of contact because we understand that this is a brand new concept. You've never done a deal before in a self-directed IRA. So you're going to have a sidekick that's going to walk you through every step of the process. Now, a couple things on the Roth IRA I want to mention. How much can you contribute to a Roth IRA? Does anyone know how much you can contribute for 2023? $6,500 when you're under the age of 50. When you're 50 and over, there's what's called a $1,000 catch-up. So you can do $1,000. So $6,500 when you're under 50, $7,500 when you're 50 and over. Now, you might be thinking, especially for those of you that are brand new, well, how in the world did Scott make 40-some thousand tax-free? Remember, the contribution limits are the contribution limits. How much money you take out of pocket and contribute. But the growth or the earnings, the profit, that's practically unlimited, right? You're not limited by profit in the account. Now, $6,500 or $7,500, that's how much you can get into the Roth IRA today. What about next year, 2024? Turn the calendar year, January 2nd, how much can you contribute to a Roth IRA? Does anyone know? By the way, the government, this is super exciting. You guys got to make sure you're paying special close attention to this. All right, super exciting information. There's this thing in the United States going on, right? This phenomenon called inflation. Has anyone heard of it? I knew I'd get some laughs out of that one. The people that were here earlier this morning, not laughing because you already heard it. And so the government allows us, or is going to allow us next year, to contribute more by $500. Yay, right? $500. So next year, if you're under the age of 50, you'll be able to contribute $7,000. If you're 50 and over, you'll be able to contribute $8,000. So if you think about it, you can get, let's say you're under 50, you can get $6,500 in now, and then at the turn of the year, you can get another $7,000. So how much is that? $13,500? $13,500 into your Roth IRA. Is that enough money to do the types of deals that we're talking about here? Yeah. Wouldn't you want to contribute to your IRA every single year? Why not? By the way, a lot of people don't know about this, but with a Roth IRA, whatever amount you contribute to the Roth IRA, you can take out tax and penalty free even while under the age of 59 and a half. It's a safety net. Did you guys know that? Tell your friends and family members. Do a selfie and post it on Facebook. You'll get 5 views, I know from experience. Right? So keep that in mind because it's a nice safety net. Why doesn't every single person in the United States max out their Roth IRA on January 2nd? Why don't they do that? I don't know. It's not important. It's not the new thing going on social media. It's, you know, not whatever's going on in Washington or whatever else is happening out there, right? No political comments, I promised. I won't. We're just going to move on from that. So remember the contribution limits and what you can do. Also remember that if you are told that you make too much money and can't contribute to a Roth IRA, you can still contribute to a Roth IRA. You just have to go about it a little different way. It's called a backdoor Roth IRA. Write it down. Backdoor Roth IRA. You may not need to do it now, but you might need to do it in the future. What it means is if you make too much money, for example, if you're married filing jointly and you make over about $218,000, the government tells you you can't contribute to a Roth IRA. But here's what you can do. You can contribute first to a traditional IRA and then immediately convert over to a Roth IRA. This didn't come about until 2010, which means everyone, as long as you have earned income, you can max out your Roth IRA contributions every single year. And what we do is our IRA counselors, Ken or Owen, will open a traditional IRA for you. You'll put your money in there and then immediately convert it over to a Roth IRA. Okay, everybody with me on that? All right, so we all can fund our Roth IRAs every year. We all can do these small dollar IRA transactions. Again, you could do it with your HSA, you could do it with your CISA. Now, last item before we do the drawing, I think they, Kent, is it a $500 gift card? $500, did you say Home Depot? Big fan of Home Depot, but I gotta say, I'm a big fan, who's a Menards fan out there? I love Menards. What's better than, you know, you're buying a hot water tank, and then I'm walking by, I'm like, wow, a rack of ribs and a bag of chips, and they have really good chocolates, too, at Menards. You gotta check those out. I promise, I have no affiliation to Menards. I just love going there. Okay, jokes aside, we're gonna do the drawing in just a moment, so Kent's gonna kind of work his way around, and if anybody didn't already pass in one of the cards, okay, make sure you drop it in so you can be entered into the drawing. All right, so I'll let him take care of that. Last but not least, who here saw the sample documents that I showed you, talked about some of the training? Who here would be interested in that training, but maybe you don't need to open a new account? Is there anyone out there that would like the training but doesn't need a new account? Okay, so I'm gonna put this up on the screen for you. Okay, here's a QR code, I'll leave that up there. If you are interested in that course, okay, generally it's $149. You can go on our website and you'll see that course available. What we're doing here is if you go to the website and you enroll in the course, you need to use the code OREIA. You could just take a picture of it or you can go right there now. And you'll see that it'll discount by $50, so it'll only be $99. So if you're interested in that course, you can take advantage of that. You're welcome to stop by the booth as well. When you enroll in the course, whether you do it directly through here or you open an account to get the course, you will have a link. You'll be able to log in immediately. You'll have access to all the documentation immediately. You'll have access to all of the video training. So I'll actually walk you through in a video training module all the different documents and the case studies so that you have a good handle on how these transactions work. Okay, so with that being said, I think we're right at 12:30. Are we not, Kent? All right, or 1:30, sorry. Did you guys get, was this good? You guys get a lot out of this? Okay, very good.
Okay, I'm gonna
anti-Home Depot here. You're a Menards guy, right? Oh, Lowe's. Okay, all right.
So, did everyone get their card in that we handed out? Yeah. You have to be in the room to win this. If you're not in the room, they don't win. So, that was the deal. If you're anti-Home Depot, can you stick your hand in, please?
One more.
Now
everyone's going to be mad at me.
Could have been a better guy. Oh. And a United States Marine Corps veteran, right? Let's give him a round of applause. There we go. Love Charles. All right, so in closing, hey, I really want to thank you guys for being here today. I hope you got a lot out of this session. We're here to help you. We're here to continue to educate you. Please stop by the exhibit booth if you have questions. I'll be hanging out to answer any questions. Very quickly, just turn around, and you'll see in the back of the room, our two IRA counselors, Ken and Owen, if you could step up just a little bit, okay? And Teresa, stand up too. So remember, Teresa, she's with our 1031 exchange group. Ask her about 1031 exchanges. Ken on the right and Owen on the left. By the way, these are former financial advisors. These were licensed advisors, and they said, I don't want to do this anymore because I don't think it makes sense to just sell people traditional investments that may not be good for them. And they started helping people self-direct their IRAs. I've been working with these two gentlemen for close to a decade. They're a wealth of information. So if you are interested in establishing an account, you have questions, please stop by, talk to Ken or Owen. If you have questions on 1031 exchanges, talk to Teresa. What is Kent Kinzer here for? He is here to help support my retirement account. And also, I'm going to soon be the beneficiary to his IRA. So I always got to ask, is he still in the room? Oh, he left. All right. Well, I can't even tell the joke, so forget about that. All right. But in all seriousness, thank you all for coming today. Look forward to serving you going forward. Have a wonderful rest of the day. Thank you.